The story of the Transfiguration is kind of like a preparation for Peter, James, and John, the apostles. It's kind of like God is preparing them for the terrible suffering and passion, death, the agony that Jesus, whom they'd come to love and admire, was going to have to endure in a relatively short time. So it's kind of like this was a way of Jesus trying to strengthen their faith and give them maybe just a little bit of an insight as to what things were going to be like after the suffering and the death and the rising. So it was kind of like they got a little bit of a glimpse of the glory that Christ would have and that someday we would have with him. We don't think about that very much. We don't think about ourselves as really sharing too much in that. But just kind of to remind us that there is suffering, there is pain, there is difficulty. It's not always easy to be faithful to Christ. It's much easier sometimes to just go with the flow, listen to what your friends tell you, just kind of give in to your feelings, and just with no rules, with no regulation, with no restrictions. So the biggest cross we bear most of the time is ourselves. Because we really want to fight this call from Christ to follow him. And remember also Peter, James, and John were the ones Christ invited to be with him in the garden when he was undergoing his terrible suffering in preparation before his arrest. So somehow or another, I think this is connected, that they would find some strength in knowing this. But at the same time, Peter betrayed him that same night. James disappeared, and John kind of disappeared for the evening also, although he appeared later. Interesting in the story, the thing that struck me as I was preparing for this weekend. You read the gospel lots of times, but there are times when something in particular strikes you. And this time as I was reading it, what struck me most was that the cloud, which was kind of the representation of Christ, of God the Father, that the cloud kind of enveloped them, and the voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." We kind of say to ourselves, well, what does he really mean? I mean, we listen to the scriptures, but I think there's a little bit deeper stuff that we need to think about. We'll talk about that. And then he said, listen to him, because remember, Jesus is also the way, the truth, and the life. If we are going to be followers of his, we follow the way of Christ, the example of Christ, the truth that he taught, and the life that he gave. So, listen. What do we mean when we listen? Now, I know that the confirmation candidates were on retreat today. And I just wonder, in the course of the day, did you have any time where there was just silence? Did you have any of that time to just, when it was just absolute silence, no conversation, just kind of reflecting on your own self, your own life, your relationship with God, maybe your relationship with other people? The silence really is a critically important part. You know, there's so much noise in our world today. Anywhere you go, I mean, you can't even go to a nice restaurant anymore and it's so loud and so much noise that you can't even carry on a conversation. There's no such thing as quiet. Everything is loud. See, I bet any one of you walk into your home this evening, you probably have your cell phone in your pocket, or maybe talking on it, or you maybe have the iPod stuff with the plugs in your head, and you may have a television on. They may there's always some kind of noise. The computer's on, and it's almost impossible to even carry on a conversation with anybody in the house. I remember reading a story one time about this grandmother. She had about 6 kids, and then, of course, she had the grandkids. And so they would come to her house for Thanksgiving. This was a great event, you know. There would be 35 or 40 of them. And so what the grandmother did, one year, it was just like, it was total chaos. Nobody was talking to each other. They all were looking at their cell phones or texting or either somebody there or somebody away from there. Nobody was really paying attention to anybody there at all. And so she made up her mind that would never happen again. So the next year at Thanksgiving, everybody's coming. Everybody came to this grand celebration she had. And she had a basket at the door. All of the cell phones, all of the iPads, anything else is going to make noise. She collected them all. And she locked them in her closet. She said, "You'll get them when you leave." She said, "We get together to have conversation, to talk to one another, to know one another, to celebrate with one another, to thank God as a family, and we can't do that with all this other distraction." And at first, everybody was kind of angry and upset. "Well, you can't do that. You know, I am waiting for you. You know, all this kind of stuff you're all so busy about." And Grandma said, "3 hours. You can have them after 3 hours." So whenever she had a celebration after that, everybody came prepared to throw their phone in the basket because they found out it really worked much better. That people actually talk to each other, and that's the way you know people. Now, can you imagine, say, we're supposed to get to know God, the Son of God. We're supposed to get to know what His way of life is, what the truth that He's trying to teach to us, what He wants us to be, what He wants us to do, what He has prepared for us. But we never listen to Him. We gather on Sunday as a community to gather together to sing and praise and thank God. But when we pray at home, how often do you do that when you really have silence? I'm going to suggest that you will probably notice a big difference in your life if every one of you, every day of your life, dedicated 5 or 10 minutes where you turn off everything. The computers, the phones, the TVs, everything is turned off. And you have 10 minutes of silence in your house. When each one can go to his own little space and pray. Because you can't listen without that silence. You just can't hear anything. Distractions anyway. I mean, it doesn't mean that if you turn off everything, you're not going to have any distractions. You're still going to have distractions. You just don't have the noise to contribute to it. One time in my life, I made an 8-day silent retreat. And after the first couple hours, I thought, I think this was a dumb idea. Because I'm a little bit of a social person. And I kind of like to know what's going on. But I made up my mind, and the director that I had was a Jesuit. And so he really fully expected you to follow. I mean, we're adults. You're a priest, you know. Act your age and do what you came here to do. And so I did. I did it. So for eight full days, there was no conversation. And after the first couple of days, you actually kind of get into this, that it just kind of feels right. So that when you go to the chapel to pray, or go to your room to pray, or go take a walk on the beach and pray, wherever it may be, it feels like you've quieted down inside, and at least removes some of the noise from your life, so that you could not only pray to God, but remember what God said to listen to Him. listen to him. We don't do that too much in our prayer. Most of us are pretty good at pouring it out, telling what we want, the way he should be doing things, how we should change the world and how we should change this rule and do that sort of thing. We're all pretty good at that. But when it comes time for God to respond, we quit. We turn on the noise again. We can't hear him. We don't want to hear him. But remember, God said, the way we're going to learn the way, the truth, and the life is listen to him. Which means that you can pour out all of your issues. You can do that, and God wants us to do that. But when you've done that, then to be quiet and listen. See what kind of response you receive. Maybe you won't receive anything. You probably say, well, that was kind of a waste of time. But if you stick with it long enough, I assure you that you will sense a response. It may be not the one that you want. It may not come out in words where God says, well, you take care of this and do this, and everything's going to be all right. Or you get rid of this person in your life and you cut this bad habit out. He's not going to do that. But somehow or another, you will know in your heart that God is speaking to you. So let me suggest that as we celebrate this transfiguration, where we see something of the glory that is God's, something of the glory that Jesus earned by his suffering and death and rising, something of the glory that he promised would be ours if we are faithful to him, if we stay connected to him. Give yourself an opportunity to learn something about that. But the only way we can really learn it is by listening. We can't hear God with all of the noise that's going on around us. I mean, there's enough distractions that you will have in your prayer time. You don't need to add any more. Our minds, our memories create enough of that for us. But we need to just concentrate on listening to what God has to say to me. What is Christ trying to tell me? How is he trying to guide me in my life? I think if we do that, we may find that our own lives are much more peaceful and that we can bring a lot of good into this mixed-up world of ours. So, try it. 10 minutes a day, turn off all the noise in your house. Everybody has their place where they can go and be quiet alone and listen to God. 10 minutes. Set a clock so you quit looking at your watch. Because the first few times you do it, you're going to be looking at that watch every 10 seconds and swearing it was at least an hour already. But it isn't. So set a clock, 10 minutes. Then you know you don't have to worry about that part. The clock will tell you when to end. But give it a chance. Lent is a good time to try some of these things. And maybe if you find it works for you, you may keep it for the rest of your life.